I just want to really, I'll just kind of add to what Pastor Aleem said. Thank you for being here yesterday. If you're first time here with us today, back last Sunday on February 3rd, we started this series really on relationships and really tying it to marriages, but it really the principles that we're teaching on Sunday morning are all about relationships, but they're particularly wrapped around and formed around the most important relationship outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is the relationship between a man and a woman in the marriage relationship. Had a great time. You know, if you weren't here, I would encourage, I think we may have a possibility down the road to give you some snippets of that. But we wanted to tie it all in together for this month. Normally February 14th is Valentine's Day, and you know, but you know, what happens after February? And we want to give you some tools and some conversation stuff that you can take with you and talk about in your home and your relationships, whether you're married or not. These principles apply. And so I'm glad that you're here. Let me kind of give you forewarning so you can plan for next week. Don't be on assignment next week. Come back next week because our topic next week is going to be on sex versus intimacy. And invite everybody that you know. It's an important topic. And Pastor Aleem, yesterday we were talking, and he said, you know, there's two topics that we don't talk enough about in church, and that's money and sex. And yet God gave both of those to us to be stewards of. And so we want to talk about that next week. We were going to do it in the fourth week, but we forgot that fourth week is when the kids are in here, and so we decided, so I'm going to be moving that up a week and doing that next week. So I want to invite you to come back. And I'm glad that you're here today, and I really hope that you came to be both blessed and burdened. Yeah, I just said that. I hope you came to be both blessed and burdened. You're saying, now why would you say the part about being burdened? Well, if you're the type of person who attends church or attends here at Connect, and what your goal is that when you leave here, you want to have a warm and fuzzy, good feeling inside every week, then there's three things that I know about you already. Number one, you haven't been coming to Connect very long. Okay? And number two, you probably haven't been reading and applying the Word of God to your life. And number three, you're about to get pretty uncomfortable. You see, the Word of God is sure, the Word of God is a blessing to us. It is a blessing. It's intended to be a blessing to us. But the reality is the Word of God is also very challenging to us. And I don't know if you're like me, but when I use the Bible, God's Word is my standard, and I compare myself to that, and I realize that I'm falling way short, I don't feel real good about that. It burdens me. And that burden hangs on me and weighs on me and probably weighs on you until we get those things right. And this morning as we continue this topic of some assembly required about relationships, and last week we talked about the relationship between us as individuals and God needs to be right before we can properly have relationships with others. Today we're going to tackle what I believe to be one of the, if not the, most misunderstood and misapplied scripture in all of the Bible, especially as it relates to marriages. So here's my question. Are you ready to be both blessed and burdened? If so, say amen. Okay, now you've given me license, okay? So you've agreed to this. If not, you might want to run now, okay? But if you're ready to be both blessed and burdened, I would encourage you to open your Bibles or your Bible apps to the book of Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. It's one of the epistles or the letters written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. And I want you to open your Bible. We're going to be looking at several verses, and we're going to be all over the Bible this morning, For sake of time this morning, we're going to be reading starting in verse 22 to verse 24, or 23, I mean. So if you would you, when you found your place, you said amen, would you stand? We're going to read just verse 22 aloud together. Just 22. I think we have all of it up there, but I just want to read verse 22. So we'll stop where it says the Lord. All right? Are you ready? Say amen. All right, here we go. Just verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. You may be seated. Anybody feeling uncomfortable yet? Come on. You know, I know I am. Why? because the word submission just seems to reach up and kind of slap us on the face. We don't like the word submission. It doesn't matter who you are, we don't like the word submission, even if we're Christians. And it makes us uncomfortable, and I would imagine right now some of you ladies are like, oh, great. I wonder what Pastor Jay is going to say about this verse of wives submitting to their husbands, and what's he going to tell and talk about this whole submission topic. I would also guess there's probably some men going, kind of starting to get a little grin on their face and like, yeah, finally, Pastor Jay is going to tell my wife to submit to me. Well, here's the deal. Wives, you don't need to worry, and men, you don't need to hold your breath. But what we're going to do is we're going to take this topic in context, not out of context, and we're going to apply it to our relationships with one another. Don't hit the off button. You see, we, including Christians, have this false notion, this misunderstanding, both men and women, about what this verse means, but particularly what submission means in the Bible. And it's either because we don't know what God's Word says, or we just want to ignore it or take it out of context. You know, there's pretty much anything you want to do you can justify if you take just a little bit out of the Bible. Wars were fought by misapplied Scripture. And so what is submission really, and what does the Bible say about it? It's a great question. I'm glad you asked, and that's what we're going to be doing. And so this morning I want to look at four aspects of this word, this misunderstood word, submission. And the first thing I want us to do is let's go back up and read. Go back to the scripture if you could and put it back on there. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He, not the man, he, Jesus, is the Savior of the body. And so now as the church submits to Christ, so wives are to submit to their husbands in everything." Again, this verse taken out of context, not fully understanding, can get a lot of people and a lot of marriages and a lot of relationships in trouble. So the first thing I would ask you this morning is, who is supposed to submit? If you take just verse 22 without reading verse 21, you will misapply this scripture. You see, back in the day when, you know, now we have chapter 5 and verse number 23. But in the day when Paul wrote these and penned these letters to those churches, that was one letter. And oftentimes, because the way it's pressed together and put into a binder and put, we often end our thoughts when we shouldn't. When you go back and look at verse number 21, we see that really what God is talking about, and Paul is talking about, through and God talking through him, he talks about that we are, the very first thing he says is we are to submit to one another. What does it say following that? In the fear of Christ. So when you talk about this subject of submitting to one another, who is to submit, it is mutual submission. Nobody escapes submission. So in this, wives, husbands, the reality is that all of us are to submit. If you're married, if you're single again, if you're divorced, you're widowed, you're a child, you're an adult, all of us have to submit. So it's important we know what that word is, amen? So what is submission? Let me give you Webster's Dictionary first, and then let me get you the biblical definition. Webster defines it this way: the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force, are the will, or to the will or authority of another person. Submitting means putting others before yourself. It means not always doing what you want to do. That's kind of the worldly version of submission. But the word here in the scripture comes from if you were to pronounce it, it's hard to pronounce. It almost sounds like hippopotamus. But it's a Greek word, and it means to subordinate voluntarily, to submit oneself to an authority. Not a power, an authority. Now, what we know about an authority, that unless someone places that authority on them, that role on them, they have no authority. And biblically speaking, for believers, submitting means putting God's desires first above your own desires. Now, that'll change marriages. That'll change your friendship relationships immediately if we will start off, as we talked about last week, of getting this relationship right and saying, God, your will over mine. It is one person voluntarily. It is not forced at the moment. It is not forced. It is voluntarily yielding his or her own right and losing self for another. We talk a lot here about acting like and walking like and talking like and becoming like Jesus. And really, that's not even possible unless we get these two facts right. It's not about me. It's about God and them. It's about him and them. Him and them. It's not about us. And we submit to God and we submit to others. We don't force them to submit to us. And this scripture, so we're going to go through this a little bit more and talk a little bit more in detail. But the reality is, submission is coming up under the authority of another. And we have a problem with that because every single day of our lives, you and I, every person sitting here, has to submit to an authority, and we resist it. Let me ask you a question this morning and be honest, please. This is interaction here. Is there anyone here that went at least 1 mile an hour over the speed limit this morning coming in? Okay, anybody stay the speed limit this morning? Anybody, those that raised your hand said you stay the speed limit this morning. Did you go 1 mile an hour over at any time during the week? You see, we resist authority. But that authority has been placed on us by the National Transportation Bureau that we're supposed to go, that these roads, and they've been given the authority to set the speed limits, and we resist it. I do. I've kind of figured out about 8 miles an hour over, you're probably pretty safe. Some of y'all, how many is it? At nine. I'm hearing nine. All right, I can speed up a little bit, right? We resist authority, but yet we do it every day. Listen, if you go get on an airplane, you are submitting your will to the pilot. You are submitting to his authority and putting your trust in him that he knows how to fly that plane, that he has received the training, he has all the proper licensing, and he can do what he says he can do. When you call an Uber, you get in that car, you just submitted to someone else's authority. You're going to go where they take you or you're going to have a problem. We drive in our own cars. I like the example of dancing. You know, in ballroom dancing, like a waltz or any type of ballroom dancing, both of the people can't lead. If you both try to lead, you're going to fall down or not go anywhere. It's just a constant struggle. Isn't that a great example, though, of us as Christians? We're trying to do God's job. Instead of submitting to his authority and follow and get in the dance where we're supposed to be, we're resisting him, and we wonder why life seems to stand still or it's not going in the direction that we want it. We all have to submit. Submission is willingly submitting ourselves to another authority. Here's what it isn't, and this is where it's misapplied in these scriptures. Submission isn't just blind obedience. It's not wives just saying, because my husband said so. If that works for you, something's wrong in your marriage. Amen, right? I heard somebody back there. See, it's not blind, but if your husband has gained and earned the trust and you know he's there and you're submitting to the authority or the role that God has put there, you're not just trusting him, you're trusting God. But it is not a subservient attitude. It is not blind obedience. It is not being someone else's doormat. Remember, the definition is voluntarily submitting to another authority. And biblical authority doesn't jive with making someone else miserable, ever. Especially in the marriage relationship. Why are we? Do we think that when we enter into this marriage that we're not accountable for blessing? We think we instead become the burden, and we put all this undue burden on one another. But submission is also not going against the Word of God. You may be in a situation, I could give you a bunch and preach all day about the examples. Just one example, you know, of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were told to do something by authority that was over them, but it went against God's will, and they had to choose between that authority and God's authority, and you know the story. But when they willingly submitted to God's authority, he took care of them. Now, it didn't go maybe perhaps the way they had hoped for, but it went exactly the way God intended to go. And that's the same thing in our marriage. And if there is ever a conflict between God's rule and man's, the believer must choose God's. So when we talk about relationships, we must submit first to God. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that in our second point, is that we have the misunderstanding of submission, that somehow it's subservient. I'll give you an example. When I was in Stuttgart, I used to do a lot more counseling or spend more sessions, and I would, now I'm kind of, I do more triage and refer them to someone that has better tools. But there was no one to send them to, and so I was counseling with a particular couple, and this couple, I wound up counseling them for, I think, 13 or 14 weeks in a row, trying to help them. And what became apparent week after week, finally to the point that I told the man that I could not help him and I would pray for his wife, but unless he changed, his marriage had no hope unless he was willing to submit to God. He wanted an employee. He wanted a servant. He did not want a wife. He wanted me and told me in these words, "I want you to tell my wife to obey me." I'm like, you have lost your mind. Here was a man who was making his wife miserable. And it kind of came to a pinnacle, and this is no joke. One day she came in, and they were sitting here. He was sitting here. She was sitting here. They weren't sitting together. It's probably a good thing. And she reached into her purse, and she pulled out a pair of what I call granny panties. She said, "Would Karen wear these?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "My husband makes me buy my underwear at estate sales and says those are the ones I have to wear." That was it for me. I'm just like, you don't want a wife. You want someone who will be subservient to you, and you will never enter into the sacred relationship of marriage that God had intended when you treat her like dirt. He would send money down to South America while their toilets wouldn't work and make them go out into the fields. That's extreme, but it's real. And they wound up, and unfortunately, I still believe if he would have submitted to God, because she was trying to submit to God, she was trying to do the right thing, she was begging God for her husband to do the right thing, their marriage didn't make it. And here's the reality. When we're not willing to submit to God, how can we ever expect to submit to others? It's not going to work. We talked a lot about this weekend about we need that third strand in the middle of our marriage to really make it work. Now, couples can be married and not have Jesus there, and they can go, but it'll never reach the limits and expand for all the experience that it was intended to be because there's a missing person. Listen, there's not only a misunderstanding, there's a mandate for submission. Submitting is not an option for the believer. It is a choice, though, because it's voluntary. The Word of God instructs us to submit in three very distinct areas. Number one, you and I must make the choice, the willing choice, to submit to God. We all know the model prayer, right? Listen, this is how it goes. I think we have it up here. Do we have that scripture up there? I think we do. All right, you should pray like this. Now, check this out. Our Father in heaven, your name. Already from the get-go, Jesus is telling us how to pray, and he's pointing us that we need to submit to someone that's over us, his authority. Your name be honored. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our first mandate is to say, okay, God, whatever you want. Man, there's a miracle that happens when that happens. When we begin to submit to his will, then he begins to increase the knowledge of his will. And when we begin to apply what he is sharing with us, then in his will, we start having the richness and a life filled with purpose that he intended for us. The problem is we don't submit to his will. But we are, the first thing we have to do is submit to God. What does he want? Number two, the word says this. It says that we are to submit to the authorities. And we live in a society that doesn't want to do that. But can I tell you this? Yes, I can tell you this. There is no authority according to the scripture. Look at this. Romans 13, chapter 1. Everyone, underline, say it, everyone must submit to the governing authorities. Listen to this. This is amazing. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are instituted by God. I don't care what your political party is. All I care about and all the Word of God says is submit to Him. Now know this, God places people in authority over His people for one or two reasons. To bless His people or to burden His people to the point they go to their knees so that He can then pour His blessings on them again. Now, it doesn't take much to look at NBC 5, Channel 4, Channel 11, Channel 8 to see that right now, where we live now, God has placed some government in our authority, and what it ought to be doing, instead of us resisting and not submitting, it ought to cause us to start praying and submitting to God's word and saying, God, we need your help. What do you want us to do in this situation? And I'll get off of that because I don't like talking about politics. My God, as we did, is bigger. Our God is greater. Our God is healer. We just sang about that. Our God, if we'll submit to Him, will do His thing. And by the way, His plans aren't going to be thwarted. We'll just miss out on the blessings of submitted to Him. So we need to understand that. And the other thing, there's a third area. He says we are to submit to other believers. And we hate that. Submit to other believers. Believers. In fact, the Bible says that we are to esteem others more highly than ourselves, and that goes against who we are. We don't want to submit. We want other people to come around to our way of thinking. Biblical submission, Ephesians chapter 5, again, the crux of this whole topic of submission is found in verse 21. Here's what it says. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ, and as he continues, there was no pause. There was no say, hang on, let's make chapter, or verse 23. He said, and this is what it looks like. In essence, he's saying, submitting to one another, that's the stage, in the fear of Christ, and this is how it looks like. And then he begins to break that down, and ladies first. He just said, and wives, this is what that looks like. And he says, men, this is what that looks like. Submitting one to one another looks like this. Not lording over someone, not hovering over someone, not demanding of someone, but submitting to one another out of fear of Christ, recognizing that God has this. Biblical submission is not limited to one gender. It is mutually exclusive. And while here in this particular letter, it starts with ladies, husbands, listen to this. I'm all about chivalry. I think we still ought to be in the day of opening the car door for our wives. I think we ought to pull out the chair when they go sit down at a restaurant. I think chivalry still exists. But in this case, no. Ladies, don't go first, because I believe that as the husbands go in the family, then the family will follow. I believe clearly the Bible teaches, and in fact, if you go on in the rest of this passage, Ephesians chapter 5, and go on to Ephesians 25, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The bigger responsibility is for the husband to fulfill the role or the authority that God has placed on him, and that role and authority is to serve his family, not demand from his family. And marriages struggle when, you know, and I grew up in that type environment. That was my filter. I've shared with you before that, you know, when we were kids, my dad would make the bacon. You know, he'd go out and he'd come home and he would sit in that chair, and I would remember seeing it. And this is what I learned from a kid on up. And he had a glass of iced tea. And I'll never forget it. It was kind of a yellow-looking, fiberglass-looking thing. You could almost see through it, but you couldn't. But you could sure hear it, because when he drained it, he would rattle it. It was, get me some more. Didn't say anything, just rattled it. And either my mom had to come running from the kitchen, or the kids had to come running from the living room and fill it, or it was not going to be real pleasant. Fast forward that, to just after Karen and I got married. We were sitting in our house, our first house together, and guess what I had? I had a glass of tea in my hand. And I rattled that glass, and I can't translate to you today what her look at me said, but you can guess. She looked at me, "Boy, you have lost your ever-loving mind." And then she went on to say, and she said it, and it didn't stop there. I took the finger out of the dam, the Hoover Dam fell on me. She said, and on another thing, she said, "You see that closet over there behind you?" I said, "Yes." She said, "There's a vacuum cleaner in there. There's a mop. There's a broom. There's a dustpan. And I work too." And she said, "We share in this together." And we didn't have a real pleasant evening, but I had to break out of this bad filter that somehow men lord over women, and get to the responsibility now to say, I am to set the example for my family. And it will carry on, and it will carry on. And biblical submission is, it's, I believe, when a spiritual, Christ-following, loving husband submits his will to that of Christ. When he begins, that husband begins, that man begins to imitate Christ, and he's just like Jesus on the cross, is willing to lay down his life for his wife and for his kids. He's not a bully. Jesus didn't bully us and force us to submit to anything. It says that his loving kindness leads us to repentance, and this man will do just like Jesus and submit, and not submit to his own sinful desires, but submit to God. He intentionally abandons his own will, affections, and need for her sake. That's when this thing starts getting good. Man, I want you to do something with me. We've heard this statement kind of in a negative connotation. Somebody will do something, you'll say, "Well, for Christ's sake." You ever heard that? Here's what I want you to say, though, and make that a positive declaration. Say, "For Christ's sake and for her sake." I think we have that up there. Do we have that up there? You can remember that. Say, "For Christ's sake, men, for her sake." Now, y'all, I'm going to make y'all stand up and say that if you don't say it loud, all right? "For Christ's sake, for her sake." Guys, let's get that right. The reason that God entrusts us is for Christ's sake and for her sake. Now, he's given us unique roles and responsibilities, yes. He talks about, we get to talk about how she is the one of the weaker muscular status, if you will, the weaker of the two. But he's talking about something else. He's not saying that she's weak-minded. Hey, those of us that have been married any length of time, no, that's not true. God uses our wives and their intellect to help us not be ignoramuses. God can't, they're not our Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit can speak through them. And ladies, just hear me what I said. You're not the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, wives, you don't get off the hook here in this submission thing, though. You see, when a spiritual, Christ-following, loving wife submits her will to that of Christ, and she begins to imitate Christ in the marriage relationship, when she begins to act like, walk like, talk like, and behave like Jesus, and in doing so, as Christ submitted himself to the Father, she surrenders her will, her affections, all of that, and says, "Not my will, but yours be done," and both of them are doing that, and she does that, then ladies, you're able to say, "For Christ's sake and his sake." Say that with me. For Christ's sake and his sake. We talked a lot about this weekend. Ladies, listen, it ain't about you if you're married. It's about him. And guys, it ain't about you. It's about her. And guys and gals alike, it ain't about you. It's about him, and it's about her or him. Okay? We need to make sure that we understand that, because when you begin to apply that wrong, we get in trouble. What we do, let me say this, and I got to be clear on this, because I have heard people have come to me and said, "Well, I'll start respecting him and I'll start submitting to him when he starts acting right or she starts acting right." You probably have thought that in your own marriage, but listen carefully. You cannot find that in Scripture. There's no place in Scripture that says, "Okay, just wait till he starts acting right and then you can do your thing." No, we do what we do because we are first submitted to Christ. We do what we do because we are first submitted to Christ. And I'm going to get up on the soapbox here for just a second. There's also no place in Scripture where it says husbands and wives are to submit to their children. Our society placates our children. You want to know the best training for your children? Dads, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Show them the love of Christ. And you know, sometimes they're the ones, the Bible says, has to submit and obey us, not the other way around. We were talking about with some friends last night, and sometimes it's hard to stay your ground. But if you don't, you'll have that battle the rest of your life. There's no place where it says that we're to told. It does say there's another group of people we're to submit to. And again, it kind of chafes us a little bit. We are to submit to spiritual leaders. Now, this is important. We don't submit to spiritual leaders because they're right. We submit to spiritual leaders because God is right. Don't mistake that. Hebrews 13, 17 says this. Obey your leaders, and there's that word again. Submit to them. For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. You could apply that statement to the marriage relationship. Resisting and not submitting to God is going to cause a struggle, and resisting and not submitting to one another in service is going to cause a struggle in the relationship. Resisting and struggling and not doing what we're supposed to do when God has placed authorities over us, both government and spiritual authority, not doing that, the only thing that does is cause problems. And if we believe, if we're really submitting to God, then we have to say, I have faith enough in you, God, that if that leader is wrong, you will take care of him. Because here's what it says, is they will be accountable. They will give an account. To who? Bible says that one day we will stand before God, before Jesus, and we will give account for the things that we have done and we have not done. He also says that those who are in leadership positions, we need to be wary because we are going to be held doubly accountable. It's not saying you can't challenge someone, but listen, when we're constantly resisting, and then finally other believers, and here's what he says in Philippians 2, 1 through 4. If there's any encouragement in Christ, he starts it off with that. Any encouragement with this relationship. If any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, this is all talking about this relationship, the vertical. Then fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing those feelings, focusing on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit. That means we're not focused on self. But here it is. In humility, consider as others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not only to their own interest, but also for the interest of others. It's mandated. It's not forced yet. It will be one day. Right now, we have a voluntary choice to submit to the mandate of submission. We sang about the song, and I know, it's actually Pastor Aleem just mentioned that as we talked about No Other Name. Scripture clearly says that there is going to come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There will be a submission on that day. Wouldn't you rather practice it now instead of not doing it and then being forced to do it? Because when you're forced to do it, the consequences aren't good. So why should we submit? Well, it's because of the model of submission. The model of submission. Christ is the perfect biblical example of submission. I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible study this week, just spend some time in Isaiah chapter 53 this week. The title of it in one of my versions of the Bible is The Suffering Servant. The Suffering Servant. And in Isaiah 53, we see this. And then you fast forward, if we've read this, and then Paul's talking to the church at Philippi, and he said in chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, he said, hey, listen, as you look at this, make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus. Act like, walk like, talk like, become like Jesus. Who, he's talking about Jesus existing in the form of God, he had power and authority and all that, existing in the power of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. That's amazing in relationships because we're all about gaining the edge and the advantage, even in our marriages. He says instead, verse 7, he emptied himself, okay? Remember what it said in Ephesians 5:25? Gave himself for the church. He emptied himself by assuming, and we don't like this word, but this is not my words. These are the words of the Bible. He assumed the form of a slave, one who was submitted to authority of another. But he wasn't forced to do it. He willingly submitted to this. It says, he taking on the likeness of men, and when he had come as a man in the external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now next week, not this week, coming week, but 19th, 20th, probably around the 23rd or 24th, we will be, several of us will be in the Garden of Gethsemane. And just outside, or just outside, really, the walls of Jerusalem, and as we'll be in that garden, that was where the true model of submission took place by the model of submission, Jesus Christ. There in that garden, he got on his knees, and we skip past this sometimes, and he got on his knees, and he said, and I'll just translate this: I don't want to do this for people that don't care. I don't want to do this. Lord, he's talking to God the Father. He says, is there any way for this cup to pass from me? He's talking honest. I don't want to do this. And listen, in the marriage relationships, you don't have to say amen or oh my or oh me, but there are times when we don't want to do it anymore. But we've got to get to the point of being like Jesus, and Jesus on his knees crying out to the Father, that one relationship that has to be right. What did he say? Not my will, but yours be done. Matthew 26, 39. And when we submit to his will, then we begin to act like him. In John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, he says, I have not spoken now of my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command. I'm under his authority. I'm his ambassador as to what I should say and what I should speak. Husbands, check your speech. Is that something really God told you to say to your wife in the manner that you said it? Really? For those of you that are tempted in your arguments to call your spouses one another names, go back to this scripture. I'm supposed to say what I should. He's telling me what I should speak. And the scripture says we speak only those things that edify one another. That word edify means build someone up, not put them down. And in relationships, don't last. I don't care if it's a marriage relationship or a business relationship or a friend relationship. If you're in a relationship that's like that, that's poisonous, it won't last very long if you're just constantly putting each other one down. But don't you like to be around people that lift you up? Man, you sure did a good job. You sure did a good job. And we have to avoid the tendency, how we normally are, because Satan wants to get in us edifying and try to bring it back down. And we'll say, you sure did a good job, but. I think I can say this in church. When you say but, you just prove you are one. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say, I love you, but? For God so loved the world, but? No. God so loved the world and that he gave his only begotten son. He says that I know this, his command is eternal life. So the things that I speak just as the Father has told me. When we become submitted to God, and he begins to reveal his will to us, then we learn what he wants us to pick up. We learn what he wants us to lay down. We learn what he wants us to say. We learn when he wants us to be quiet. We learn what actions and steps we are supposed to take. And we learn those things of omission that we're not supposed to do. But only when this relationship is right. And when it's not right, then we start saying things we shouldn't do. We start doing things we shouldn't do. We start acting in ways that don't honor God. It's the model of submission. And when we're submitted to God, there's a true indication that we are acting like, walking like, talking like, and being like Jesus by simply looking and evaluating how we treat others in our relationships. I've said this before, and I believe I can stand on this biblically. When you're out of sorts with God, you're out of sorts with other people. And when you're out of sorts with other people, you're out of sorts with God. Paul says that as much as possible with us, as much as possible, and it's really an interesting use of the verbs there, as much as humanly possible, with all your strength and might, as much as possible, live at unity with all men. We have to do our part to do that. And finally, as we kind of wrap this up for today, and again, you can see where this applies to all relationships, there's a mystery of this submission. It's a big mystery, and I don't necessarily like it. Okay, I'm just going to confess that. We have been taught our whole lives that with obedience comes reward. And what we focus on is reward. We think reward is all good. We think reward is like getting chocolate, you know. We've heard, like, if you eat all of your vegetables, if you do all your homework, if you do all your chores, if you work hard and you put in the time at work, if you do this, there's a reward. But we don't understand that God's version of reward is different than ours. This just jumped out at me this week. Sometimes the reward for obedience, check this out, is suffering. Suffering. I don't like that. God, I'm doing what you want to do, and yet your reward is that I'm still suffering in it. You see, it is in the valleys where the fruit is grown. It's not always, we talked about this yesterday, that God's intent for the marriage was not to make us happy, but to make us holy. And we want to be on the mountaintop where we're having all the fun. But listen, you're not going to find any fruit on the mountaintop. It's where it's down in the valley where the hard work has been done and the big rocks have been pushed aside and the plow has gone down deep into the furrow grounds and that soil goes backwards and the word of God is planted, and that's when then the fruit comes. And we don't want that. We want to be like we are and go down to Kroger and have it already picked for us. We don't want to suffer. I don't. Submitting often brings suffering. I don't know about you, but doesn't that seem a little countercultural? Following Jesus, though, here's newsflash, is countercultural. Acting like, walking like, talking like, behaving like Jesus is countercultural. Listen to this from 1 Peter. This is amazing stuff. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, 20. It should be on the screen. This is crazy. For it brings favor if, mindful of God's will, remember this is a relationship, someone endures grief from suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if you sin and are punished and you endure it? But when you do what is good and suffer, if you endure it, here it is, this brings favor with God. Seriously, God, it pleases you to watch me suffer? No, it pleases God that I'm willing to obey Him regardless of the circumstances. As we learned in the marriage, true love is giving. That agape love is pouring out our love to another person without ever expecting anything in return. That's Jesus' love. Man's love is, I'll do this if I get this, or if I get that, I'll do that. That's not Jesus' love. If we obey God, church, if we do good, we will suffer. But if we do it for the right reasons and for the right person, the Bible says He's pleased. Isaiah 53, I told you about that. This is one little snippet, first part of verse 10. Yet the Lord was, this is prophecy about Jesus and what He was going to face. Yet the Lord was pleased to crush Him severely. Friends, let me tell you something. You may be in a relationship right now that is hard, and I'm sorry. I really am. I know that that can be a tough thing. But if you'll stay hung with God, you'll hang with Him and you'll submit to Him and you're doing it, God will be pleased with you and His reward will come. It may be more suffering. It's because He's still got to work some things out in you. It may be peace that passes. See, that's the peace that passes understanding. It's real easy to think when things are going, that's peace, right? We claim that a lot. Give us the peace that passes all understanding. Where do you think that comes, that passes all understanding, when it doesn't make sense? When we're going through the rough patch in our marriage, when we're going through the rough finances, when we're going through the health issues, it doesn't make sense when we are suffering for doing what is right. It says God is pleased. He doesn't end there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, listen, you get blessing too. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's submission. Why? So that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on him because he cares about you. Mutual submission that is modeled after Christ and based on love pleases God. It will bless you and help promote peace and harmony in your marriage. Now, let me say this, because I know that we have folks here that are on not still on their first marriage. I need to tell you this. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the unpardonable sin. Satan really tries to keep us down with that. See, he wants you to submit to the lies and to the guilt and to the shame. We just read that God wants us to submit so he can lift us up. So if there's an area in your life, whether that be in a marriage relationship or a sin that's going on right now, submit to God and he'll lift your chin up. Satan wants you to walk around and he's got his foot on your neck. God wants to reveal some situations to you so he can take you by the chin and say, hey, look up. It's okay. From this point on, submit to me. Submit to others. Live your life like my son did. I gave you a pretty good example. So don't beat yourself up, and when you've confessed it, the scripture says this, not me, that God is able to forgive our sin, and he puts it as far as the east is from the west. It doesn't mean you forget. That's a misnomer. God's not capable of forgetting. But he willfully chooses to forgive. And that's better than forgetting, because he forgives, knows it, and still forgives you and still loves you. Apply that to your marriage relationship and see how that begins to change things. From the very beginning of time, submission has been an issue. And it continues to be an issue amongst us. I struggle with it. You struggle with it. We struggle with it. It affects us. It affects all of our relationships. Dr. Charles Spurgeon, old school English pastor way back in the day. I love some of his messages, and I have his collection of messages. And I love what he said in this particular sermon. He says, the reason why men can't find peace. That's the title of his service or his sermon. And here's what he said. A lack of submission is no new or rare fault in mankind. Ever since the fall, it has been the root of all sin. From the moment when our mother Eve stretched out her hand to pluck the forbidden fruit, and her husband joined her in setting up the human will against the divine will, the sons of men have universally been guilty of a lack of conformity to God's will. They choose their own way and will not submit their wills. They think their own thoughts and will not submit their understanding to God's understanding. They love earthly things and they will not submit their affections. Man wants to be his own law and his own master. Biblical submission is not an act of human will. It is a divine work. No, you can try it for a little while, but it is a divine work. We can submit to God's authorities, to one another, to leaders in our church, to one another. We can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would ask you today, what is God asking you to submit? What part of your relationship life, what part of your relationship with him is he wanting you to submit? It may be that for years you've been pushing him back, saying, No, I don't believe that. No, I don't need to give my life to you, God. I'm going to do it my way. I don't need you, God. But if the Holy Spirit right now is beginning to tug at your heart, listen, it's not him to put a hammer on your head. He's saying, it's a love letter sent to you and saying, look, I want to share my life with you. I want to give you all that I have. But he won't force that on you. You have to submit and say yes. You have to surrender your will for his will. It may be in a marriage relationship. Maybe your marriage relationship models one of those tug of wars on TV. It's more like that, that you're just constantly back and forth. How about setting down the rope and getting on your knees together and pray to God and say, God, what do you want our marriage to look like? It takes humility. It takes setting down. God saying, set your pride down. There's an old story in the Old Testament. If you remember when God was choosing Moses and he said, Moses, what's that in your hand? He told him to throw it down. And he was using it as an example. Put it down. If I ask you to put it down, put it down. And God can do other things with it. Maybe God's trying to tell you to put down your pride. Put away that sin. Pick up this and use it for me. Maybe some of those same things, the way he's created you, maybe your boisterousness or your personality, but put it down. And then he says, pick it back up and now use it for me. Biblical submission is not the act of a human will. It is divine work. What is the Holy Spirit asking of you today? Let's pray. God, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, we ask you right now, as we did yesterday in our marriage conference, that right now, God, would you make this place, we acknowledge you've already made this place holy because you're here, but God, would you help us recognize the holiness of this moment? Would you help us recognize that today is a day where you're trying to reveal your will in our certain life situations? You're trying to reveal your heart to our hearts, and there's a struggle going on. There's a fight where we're wanting to hold on to our end of the rope and not wanting to release because we do that out of fear. And I pray, God, that as we also learned yesterday, that we would, instead of running away, that we would run to that thing that is we're afraid of. God, we're afraid to follow you. There's no reason to be. The answers to all of our life's questions and our relational issues is found in you. God, this morning, all over this worship center, I pray that husbands and wives, men and women, students and children, singles and single again, God, that they would begin to throw down the things that are keeping them from submitting to your will. And today would be the day where revival begins here at Connect Church, and we begin to be a people of submitted wills and hearts to the Holy Father who loves us more than we can even love ourselves, and help us love one another in that kind of love. God, we open up this area down front, and we ask God that you would begin to begin to ponder with us and help us ponder what we've learned and prick our hearts, God, and begin to move us to making commitments and submitting to you. Whatever it is that you want us to do, I would pray, God, today would be the day that we would say yes. Where husbands would say, yes, with your help, God, I'll be a godly husband. I'll love my wife, God, with your help. Wives would say, God, yes, today I will begin to love my husband in a way that honors you as Christ loved me. Church members, we would say, God, we will begin to serve you as Christ served the church. Whatever God is asking you to do, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, now move. Move, not for any other reason, but to bring yourself glory and to bring your people right back into relationship with you.